Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I greet all of you affectionately for this first Sangamela online. I think no one of us expected this to happen, but there is one factor in this world which is absolutely sure. Nothing else than this one factor is sure and stable. Only this one factor is something which will happen. It is happening now and it has happened in the past. This one factor which always stays with each one of us is called change. Nothing remains the same. Everything is under the law of change or transition. So, when it was clear that we would have our beloved Sangamela festival online, Gaurahari and myself and his wife Vaijajanti sat together and we discussed how could we make an online event that is absolutely nourishing, inspiring, and also strength giving. And we decided to go for this format. I would talk about a very relevant subject for about 45 minutes. And then Gaurahari will talk about Krishna Katha. See, hearing about Krishna is the purpose of our movement. It's a movement really of the ear, more than it is a movement of the eye. Because our eyes are very limited, but if we hear through the help of the devotees and the Shastras about Krishna, then even he who seems to sometimes be so far away from us comes close through the oral channel and takes his residence in the heart. After a little Krishna Katha, we will then have the darshan of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan and a little kirtan, which I understand is done live at the temple of Golokadham. So I would like to now go immediately into our subject for this Sangamela. I call it the subject matter the bhakti tonic. A tonic, or in Sanskrit rasayana, is a medicine which can even bring an almost dead person back to life. Just by smelling a good tonic, then the life force returns. In the same way, we hope that our three lectures, today's lecture, tomorrow's lecture, and then the next day's lecture, will act like a powerful tonic and rasayana that can bring you to life, or most probably all of you are fully alive and spiritual in Krishna consciousness, but it can nourish you. For today, I have chosen a subject that is strengthening our bhakti. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve. Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavari. Paskatyari Satarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Arvita Garadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. The Bhagavatam tells us of a very, very important confrontation. Prahlad Maharaj confronted the values of the education which was given in the school. He had gone to this school for many years and learned politics, economics, and other subject matters which were also purely materialistic. And then one day he revolted. He said, this is not real knowledge, this is not truly important. We have to question the material life, and we have to stop becoming entangled in the material life. Therefore, I can tell all of you, there are many systems that are recommended for disentanglement from the miseries of material existence. However, the one system that is personally explained and accepted by the Supreme Lord as all perfect should be accepted. This system, which helps us to become free of material miseries, consists of processes by which we develop love for Krishna. My dear listeners, there are so many subjects in this material world, but they don't stop the miseries of material existence. Most people nowadays, they talk about a small little virus, and they are not tired to talk about all the complexities which develop from engaging with this. Some are panic stricken, some take on positions, I believe in the virus, and another says, I don't believe there is such a thing. And they discuss subjects surrounding this, vaccination, and so on. But does this really stop our material miseries? Have you ever asked this question? What stops, what subject matter, what process stops my material miseries and makes me happy? This is what Prahlad Maharaj says. There's so many subjects in this school. How to make money, how to rule, and so on. But does this make us happy? Does it stop our miseries? And he comes to the conclusion, no. We need something which will help us to become free from miseries. And that which does this, is which is most authoritative, is explained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It consists of things which you do in order to develop love for Krishna. And then, of course, the schoolmates say, Prahlad, how do we develop this love for Krishna? How do we make progress in this? And then he gives an answer. And this answer is very important. I consider it the bhakti tonic. It is in the seventh canto, seventh chapter, text 30. He says, devotion or love for the Lord develops in three ways. First, by serving one's teacher with love. Secondly, devotion for the Lord develops in the association with devotees. And the third item is, devotion for the Lord develops if you worship the Supreme Lord. Through, basically, through Shravanam and Kirtanam. This, my dear devotees, nourishes us spiritually. This stops our material miseries. You have to serve a spiritual teacher because he can shine the light of knowledge in your life. You can associate with devotees because this association gives you eyes to see and strength to walk. And finally, you can worship Krishna, because by worshiping him, he becomes revealed to you. Now, this simple process is explained in the scriptures at many, many places. But in order for us to get faith in this system, Jiva Goswami quotes one particular verse from the scripture that tells us how this process works, a little bit more practical. And I want to sing this verse to you, first in Sanskrit and then in English. I will not sing in English, but tell you. Mukti Parishanu Bhavo Viraktir Anyatra Chaisha Trika Eka Kala Prapadyamanasya Yatashnatasyus Tushti Pushtikshut Apayonugasam. Here, the process of bhakti is compared with eating a very nice meal. It says, devotion, direct experience of the Lord, and detachment from other things, these three develop simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way as pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person who's engaged in eating. Today, I had a practical experience of this. I walked with one of the devotees here through a thick forest, and we walked for a few hours until the devotee said, I'm sorry, we were discussing such interesting things, I lost the path. So we continued to walk on our intuition, and all of a sudden we saw a strange part of the forest. The first thing I noted was a sign, please do not pick the flowers. So there are flowers in the winter. I looked around and I saw mostly yellow flowers everywhere. Then the next announcement said, please make sure that you stay on the path. The next thing I noticed was a few people standing on the path of the forest and crying. Thinking, where am I? So, as it turned, then I walked a little from the path, and one person said, "Oh no, oh no!" I noted I had walked on a graveyard in the forest. Yes, there are some people who like that their ashes are put in the sea, and no one knows where they are, the ashes are. So in the same way, some people like that their mortal remains, the dead body, is cremated in the forest, and then they put a stick there and bring some flowers from time to time. So I was really surprised. When I had stepped from the path, I had stepped on somebody's grave, which I couldn't see. It was quite something. It was shocking. It was reminding me of my own death. And I was thinking, before I die, I will make sure that I live properly. But at the moment, I'm very, very hungry. It's very cold, and I need to take care of this. So, but we had lost our path. Then we asked a person and got the directions and had to walk again for a long time. When I finally came here, the devotees had been kind, and there was a good meal waiting for me. This is the process of bhakti also. We walk through this world of death, and we get very hungry for spiritual nourishment, for something that fulfills us, for something that totally takes our entire attention away from the material subjects and binds it to Krishna. And as we eat, there are three, or take part in bhakti, there are three things, and you should check if this really happens in your life. There should be satisfaction coming. That is some bhakti or love for the Lord. The second is some nourishment should happen as you take part in the process of bhakti and continue to eat. That means you should have a realization of Krishna. Krishna should manifest something of his presence in your heart. And the last thing to look at is when you eat, you don't eat unlimitedly. There should be some relief from hunger happening. That means in bhakti also, as you go on, there should be some detachment happening, where you say, "I have enough," not of bhakti, but "I have enough of everything else, all the entanglements into the material world, such as aham, the things which I think come associate with I, and mameti, the things which I think are my mind, my plans, my ideas, and so on. Check yourself. Don't mechanically practice bhakti. Check yourself if you become more satisfied in the process, that is, develop some love for Krishna. Check if you are nourished, that means getting some manifestation of Krishna or revelation of Krishna in your life. And check whether you become actually detached from the material world. If this happens, then you do things right. If this does not happen, you will have to see where is it that some mistake, some error, some misunderstanding has invaded my practice of bhakti. And then you should see that you get rid of it, so that you all make the experience of love in your heart, of Krishna in your heart, and of losing attachments for the material life. Please do not cheat yourself by just going on and on and on not really feeling what is Krishna consciousness, not really becoming satisfied. I have seen that on the path of bhakti, people start after having an initial impulse, some motivation. They have maybe seen that material life is suffering, and they have now the motivation to end all suffering, and they start the process of Krishna consciousness. But then, as they walk the path of Krishna consciousness, their attention wanders away from the direct involvement in bhakti, and they are becoming attentive to other details of their life. But unfortunately, these other details, these other subjects, these other concerns, these other worries don't nourish the soul. They don't give us a practical realization of Krishna. And then we can become stuck. I have seen how devotees who felt stuck on their path and felt they did not advance any longer came to Prabhupada and asked him for an advice. What should we do now? And then Prabhupada, he gave them a very interesting solution. He said, stop everything. Start fresh. Go before the deities in the temple. Sit down on the temple floor. Look at the deities and start to sincerely pray to them. I'm stuck. I do not know how to move forward with enthusiasm and the same type of bliss which I once felt. And he said, chant Hare Krishna. And I have always done this. And therefore, I have become a happy old man. We here in Gaurabhavan have remembered this simple advice of Srila Prabhupada. Every day, in the evening hours, between 7 and 8, we are sitting down and we are chanting. The one who is in charge of this program is Gaur Krishna, and we are joining this program which he sets up and so on. Because it is clear for us, by sitting before Krishna and praying to him through the chanting, everything else will be solved. Prabhupada said, don't have so much faith in your meetings and in your revolutions and in all this. You should chant instead, and you will see how by this simple process of worshipping Krishna, Krishna is becoming attentive and then enters your heart. And from the heart, Krishna will purify or take care of the obstacles. He will remove them, the inner obstacles and also the outer obstacles in your life. We alone are not always able to control all the aspects of our life to our full liking. No, we are often experiencing that instead we are controlled by the circumstances. However, if we call upon Krishna, like Prahlad Maharaj has recommended, and like the Bhagavatam is also suggesting, Krishna will take care. Like food, which takes care that you become nourished and satisfied and full also. Krishna takes care that you become satisfied, nourished, and also develop the necessary detachment to stop going to the sources of miseries, that is material life. A very good example of someone who followed this simple process of serving a teacher with love, associating with devotees and worshipping the Supreme Lord is a little boy called Bandhu. I have seen Chitta Malini in this call. I request you, Chitta Malini, to be very attentive now and tell your children about Bandhu and his experiences. You may make some notes and others also. It's a very, very instructive narration which can be found in a book called Bhaktamala. It is said that amongst the Vaishnavas there was a time when they were quarreling too much amongst themselves. There were so many differences of opinions, also so many different sampradayas. So what was done is a book was written about all Vaishnavas, all devotees of the Lord, and their experiences. And this book became famous at the Bhaktamala. And in Vrindavan, you find many devotees who have a Tulsi necklace and a little box where the pages of Bhaktamala are written in very, very small writing. They carry this work around their neck. Because, my dear devotees, if we hear about devotees of the Lord, then our material miseries will go very quickly. Both should be done, hearing about the Lord directly and hearing about his devotees. Then Maya has no chance and goes away very quickly. Two need to be done, hearing about devotees, hearing about Krishna. So Bandhu is such a devotee. He was born in a little village in Bengal, and quickly his mother passed away. I'm saying quickly because he was still quite young. And then his father also followed his mother into the death and passed away. There was maybe 3 months difference. And Bandhu became an orphan. He had no shelter. The village people did not really care about him because his parents had been quite poor. So Bandhu had no friends in the village, and he left when he was 6 years of age to go to Navadvip. There, in the town of Navadvip, he became a beggar who lived from whatever chapatis and sabjis people gave him. He was very sad, very depressed, until one day he saw many people gathering in one pandal. It's like a big tent against the sun. And he followed the people. He sat down and he heard how the lecturer said, "There is one person who can give us shelter. There's one person who can take care of us. When no one can gives us shelter any longer, no one takes care of us, Dinabandhu, the friend of the fallen, is there. Dinabandhu is also known as Krishna. Make an endeavor in this life to find Krishna." This stuck with Bandhu. And when he left the pandal after the lecture was over, he only had one purpose, that is to find Krishna. The little boy would stop every person on the road and ask him, "Have you seen Krishna? Can you tell me where I can find Krishna?" And the people did not act very sympathetically. They thought Pandu has become a little bit mad. It's not so easy to find Krishna. And they more or less ignored the poor beggar who was dressed in rags. And one day, however, Pandu met a merciful devotee. And the devotee said, "Pandu, Krishna is still in Vrindavan. He goes every day with his cows and then brings them to the Yamuna. You must go to Vrindavan." So Pandu said, "Yes, how can I go?" And the devotee said, "In 3 weeks, a group of pilgrims will go from Navadvip to Vrindavan. Go with them because you need a guide and you need to be protected. It's a long walk, sometimes through forests with wild beasts. Go with this group of pilgrims. I will tell the leader he should take you along." So it came that Pandu, after spending 3 more weeks in Navadvip, traveled yet again. He was on his way to Vrindavan. When Pandu arrived in Vrindavan, he followed the same process. He asked each single person he could stop on the road, "Please, can you tell me where's Krishna?" And again, all the people thought, "Well, this boy is very young. How will he be qualified to see Krishna?" And they ignored him until one day a devotee said, "It's not so easy." And he more or less repeated what Prahlad Maharaj said. He gave him the bhakti formula. He said, "You have to serve a teacher with love. Listen from him. You have to associate with the saintly devotees. And you have to worship Krishna." Pandu said, "Where do I find such a teacher?" And the devotee said, "I will bring you to one." "Next morning, meet me at this place." So Pandu met the devotee again, and the devotee, I forgot his name, took him to a little ashram where there was an elderly devotee, he was a guru, with his wife and 9 cows. And after Pandu got introduced, the teacher said, "What can you do to stay in the ashram?" And Pandu thought, and he desperately thought, and then, "Yes, I can take care of cows. I come from a village. I have learned that." So in this way, Pandu found shelter at the house of this wonderful person who became his guru and who instructed him how to find Krishna. And every day, Pandu lived in Vrindavan and associated with the devotees there. He sometimes went to the temples. He sang and worshipped the Lord. And every day his service was, after taking care of the cows, to bring the cows down to the river Yamuna. So he did this day after day. He herded the cows till one day, one very special day, one fortunate day, Pandu saw a big herd, heard a big herd of cows coming on the opposite bank of the Yamuna. And he heard laughter and he heard sounds of flute. And then everything disappeared again. He thought, the next day he thought, I saw something. And he went back to the same spot. And yes, in the late afternoon, it was not yet dark, he saw a herd of cows. This time he not only heard, but he saw the herd of cows. And he saw some cowherd boys dancing and playing on their flutes. And then the scene disappeared. The third day, the same thing happened, but this time he saw amongst the cowherd boys one black boy and one white complexioned boy. He ran across the Yamuna to meet them and he said, "What is your name?" And the black boy said, "Syam," and the white complexioned boy said, "Dauji." They call me Dauji here. And they had a wonderful time. They played. And at the end, the two boys asked, "Do you have something to eat?" And Bandhu said, "Yes, yes, yes. I've played the whole so long now with you, but I have not eaten." And he went to the opposite, to the other side of the Yamuna where his cows were grazing. And he took his tiffin. And there were still some chapatis and a little sabji, and he distributed it to the boys. Every day, Bandhu came to the banks of the Yamuna. Every day he heard the transcendental cows. He saw the cowherd boys, and he saw Syam and Dauji. And every day he played with them, and he became the most happy boy you can imagine. All his depression went. So one day, his Guru Maharaj said, "Bandhu, you look so happy since a few weeks. I see you singing and laughing. What is the cause of this?" And Bandhu responded, "Syam and Dauji are the cause of my happiness." "Oh, who are Syam and Dauji?" The Guru thought these are some local village boy's name. And Bandhu said, "You have to see them. They are so beautiful." So he took his Guru along. And the Guru saw how all of a sudden Bandhu became alive and ran through the river Yamuna. Bandhu had heard and seen the cows. Bandhu had heard the flute sound of the boys, but the Guru had not. Bandhu looked as if mad with joy. So the Guru thought, "My little disciple, he's running through the river Yamuna," and he ran behind and he called, "Bandhu, Bandhu," but Bandhu didn't hear him any longer. He saw Krishna and Balaram. He heard their flutes. He heard the sound of millions of cows mooing. And the Guru did not see anything. He did not hear anything. He just ran after Bandhu. And as he was running, he came to a stone. It was in the middle of the road. And bong, he hit the stone. And he was flying and about to hit the ground when Krishna, who saw that this elderly man has given shelter to my Bandhu, was falling, and Krishna came with his transcendental hands. He catched the Guru who had stumbled over the stone and who was just about to fall on the ground. And as this elderly Vaishnava was touched by the hands of the Lord, he had a momentary glimpse of Krishna. and he fainted in ecstasy. When he woke up, he was lying on an ox cart, and Bandhu was leading the oxen and the ox cart to the ashram where he would take care of the guru. My dear people, my dear friends, my dear devotees, my dear skeptics, this happens when you take the bhakti tonic. When you serve a teacher with love, when you associate with the devotees and you worship Krishna. Bandhu worship Krishna and Balaram by giving them always from his tiffin something to eat. It will happen automatically in due course of time. His teacher, it happened a little later. For Bandhu, it happened a little earlier because he had faith when he saw Krishna. This is the beauty of bhakti. If you practice bhakti with faith, giving up doubts and feeling and doing the right process as is given in the Bhagavatam and in other scriptures, you will for sure awaken also in the sweet embrace of Krishna. He will take care of you. My dear devotees, do not idealize normalcy, a normal life. That is dangerous because it keeps you from growing further in your bhakti. But instead, become a regular drinker from the cup of bhakti, the bhakti tonic. I have now talked about the first, it's only the first of three lessons. I request you to come back for tomorrow's session, where we will continue with the bhakti tonic. We will hear about awakening devotional feelings tomorrow. That's very, very, very important. I welcome you affectionately for that morning session. Same place, same time. So now my time is up. It was a pleasure to spend this time with you, and I will request now Gaurahari to come and talk about the pastimes of Krishna. Because as we hear about the pastimes, the leelas, the character, the form, the associates of Krishna, our perspective changes. We do not look so much with this world, which entangles us, but in the opposite, we look at Krishna's world, which disentangles and nourishes us. I request you, after the talk of Gaurahari, which will be for about 15 minutes, we will have an original live darshan of our beloved Radha Madan Mohan. There will be a kirtan, and you can have that darshan and become happy in transcendental Krishna consciousness. So all the best, and please, Gaurahari, take us from here. Hari Bol.